2 of Bernard Williams, November 21st, 1990. We were talking about spontaneity, but we were also talking about
pluralism of the breast.
Pluralism in the breast, and I don't want to lose sight of the other pluralism, that is,
that's right,
competition between communities.
That's right. Now, that's what I was going to say, indeed, with this whole thing about what we were talking about was the fact that his representations of the plurality of values, as it were, tend to be either diachronic and what you might call Herderian in a very broad sense, or concerned with them in the breast, and that has both the cases of the spontaneous case, as it were, and the reflective case, which of course tends to be the characteristic feature of our own friend quotes modern man, as it were. But I think that he's addressed himself less to what many thinkers, such as, for instance, Rawls, think of as the central problem of modern liberalism, which is the relation between the values that hold the community together when it's a pluralistic community, and the visions of the good which, as it were, operate in the sub-communities. Where Rawls, of course, would, well, you know the view, I mean, the view has to be that the values that hold it together have to be the right, I mean, that is the priority of the right over the good, so that the society is founded on a conception of the right which will allow the coexistence and fair negotiation between as exponents of various conceptions of the good. Now, I don't think that Isaiah, this may be a defect of my understanding of his views, I don't think he thinks very much using that setup as his way of going about it. What I hear, rather, is that partly because of his first interest, the Herderian interest, as I've very coarsely labelled it, he really is interested in the notion of a community being built round one rather than another conception of the good. So the notion of a community, that is to say, a modern Rawlsian community, which is
competing goods.
Yes, competing goods, but where it derives its character from the emphasis, perhaps, on one rather, or one subset of them rather than others. Now,
And does he then address the obvious difficulty that in these small sub-communities of the general community, there may be goods which are
unacceptable?
Well, let me back up.
Yeah.
He's very interested the possibilities of understanding other people's goods.
Absolutely, and of course. Absolutely.
The difficulty in these communities is that the goods may be only too understandable.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And therefore, it becomes very difficult for a liberal.
That's right.
To devise an account of how even the right must prevail.
That's right.
Faced with, South Boston working class people saying,
absolutely,
you're not busing my kids.
That's right, you're dead right. Of course, that's the problem. I mean, that is that both that some of the goods may find other of the goods absolutely repulsive. I mean, some of the sub-communities may find other sub-communities absolutely repulsive and antagonistic. And as you rightly say, if we imagine in the centre, as it were, the highly self-conscious liberal who's got the priority of the right, and the goods that go with the right, I mean, that is to say, the goods of a sense of justice, a sense of fairness, all that stuff. And then there's all these people out there with their communities, with their assorted goods, and presumably it's their own conceptions of the right. And then on Jack Rawls's view, they've got to have some of that, each of them. We have this terrible problem, which you precisely referred to. Now, it seems to me that Isaiah's resources about that tend to be twofold. One is, threefold really. One is, I think, is, and I don't criticise him for this, I mean, I think it's, we all have a share of this problem, I mean, it's a real problem, but I don't think it's one he's made high on his agenda. So I think what he tends to do is, first of all, he tends to look at the sub-communities in the Herderian spirit, the way he'd look at any other total community and say, well, I understand them and so on. The other is to, another is interestingly, to see the Rawlsian approach itself as being a particular kind of historical phenomenon.
Yes.
I mean, to distance himself explanatorily from his own society as represented by the philosophy. And thirdly, to use the standard liberal values themselves congenial to him of moderation, the rejection of fanaticism. I mean, the term fanatical is quite a strong term of dispraise, isn't it?
Indeed.
In his discourse.
Yes.
Fanaticism is something which gets a poor press, and then, well, that's good
but
liberal
it gets poor press, but again, a characteristic ambivalence.
Of course.
Because
he recognises one of the universal human.
Indeed, and a lot of his fascination with the 19th century.
Yes, his fanatics.
Romantics consists in precisely the valuation of sincerity.
Absolutely.
Value.
Absolutely.
Then, it's not exactly clear at which point a sincere believer becomes a fanatical true believer, and at what point you shade into a.
Well, that's why Verdian figures are so good, you see, because they are absolutely spontaneous, not at all fanatical. Well, except for Otello.
Yes, for.
And he's deluded. He has false empirical beliefs. Which he also acquires in plausibly rapid manner.
Indeed, yes. This is right into race, but then another.
Yes. Now, I don't think race is an important matter in Otello for him.
For Otello?
No, for Isaiah.
Yes.
I mean, for modern critics it is. I mean, both Otello and Othello are plays about race, or performances about race, but I don't think they are for Isaiah. I don't think he's...
Well, that has to do with Jewishness.
Yeah, he's just... I mean, I think that if Othello had been a Jew, he might have been... But he doesn't regard Nebuchadnezzar as any more racist, I think, than anything else. But still, that's...
Yeah.
Okay. Let me just tell you, let me just put it in for 1 minute, the little disagreement about Traviata.
Yes.
It's not very interesting, but it just illustrates something. He and I have had now... Patricia says we've heard it about 57 times, the same conversation, which is that I don't regard Traviata as by any means the best of Verdi's more notable operas. It's obviously a very remarkable work, but I don't think it's quite as good as a lot of people think it is. Particularly, I don't think it's quite as good as Isaiah thinks it is. And my reason for this is twofold. One is a technical objection, which actually applies to some degree to Otello, namely that his famous passion for speed got in the way of it quite working. I mean, things have to happen too quickly. And the other is that the attitudes of the father are so repellent to us. The way in which the father deals with Violetta, with all that ghastly stuff about the sister, that her reactions cannot be reactions which we, as modern people, can respect as much as we have to, in order to make her position as noble as it has to be for the plot. Because a modern woman confronted with that stuff would say, well, I'm afraid I'm not responsible for your daughter's life. And I say this all something of this character, and what he does is he simply historically situates it. He says it's simply a matter of historical understanding. And here we have a universal human passion, namely concern for one's family, one's family reputation, which is represented perfectly correctly in terms of French bourgeois life in that period. And in those days it was the case that your sister could not make a desirable match, your daughter might not be able to make a desirable match if your son was living openly with a prostitute, and so on. And his concerns are entirely sort of, oh, Il tuo vecchio genitor represents a perfectly and so on, you see. And for me, this won't do.
It won't do in the sense that you are quite as able as he to historicize this and understand it in its context. But whereas for him, it does not diminish his artistic enjoyment.
That's right.
It does for you.
It does for me. And this is connected with his extremely historicizing, in fact, very conservative approach to opera production. He barely likes anything which, as they all do now, take liberties with the production and tries to move it around in time and things of that kind. And sometimes he thinks they come off and he enjoys them. But he very sharply picks on anachronisms. of behaviour. He's always against Jonathan because Jonathan has made the Countess in Figaro fall over on the bed. No woman of her position is going to do something in front of her maidservant. Perfectly ridiculous conception. Does he know nothing about the 18th century? No. All right. But the trouble is that it does, because the idea of the opera house as museum then becomes rather an oppressive conception. I mean, no, as it were, young director wanting to do something.
To be the custodian of a museum.
Of course. I mean, we could then just have, if we could have holographic films of the productions with various artists in, that would be enough, you see, on that. That's not good enough. So in a way, there's something about the, of a kind I haven't quite captured, about the relation of the way in which the universal human passions in their historical locations relates to his own emotions, which has a certain reflective indirection about it, you see, because he thinks that. Do you see what I'm getting at?
Reflective indirection, I don't follow.
What I mean by that is the following. He thinks that he is absolutely responding. He has an immediately felt empathy with Verdi's characters. And in that, he and Verdi's characters, I mean, that needs a little deconstruction, but that's not in question, are, as it were, affirming a universal human value. I mean, when whoever it is refers to Italia, or the father refers to his daughter and so on, you know, empathy goes on. But you see, it's got a trick to it, because I'm as willing to do that as he is, but I can't do it with the father in Traviata, because it has to go through this historical distancing route in order, in that case, not in others, but in that case, to work. I regard that as an imperfection, a parochialism of the work, because it is a rather local bourgeois pattern to passion to be as concerned with that, about the reputation and so on and so forth, you see, and whether somebody's a prostitute and all that kind of thing. Now, that is part of, I won't go into that, but I mean, that's part of our disagreement on the subject of Wagner, because actually, because the present age is so now, in Schillerian terms, sentimentalish, the naive artist is actually Wagner. Because the thing is, you don't need to know about the bourgeois conventions of 1860 to make it work, because Wagner attempted to arrive by enormously sentimentalish means at a psychological level that wasn't relativized to 1870.
Yes.
And of course, he succeeded in the sense that you don't need historical instruction to be blown out of your seat by some of these works. As is shown by the fact that people turn up in the theatre without any historical instruction. So there is a little artificiality about Isaiah's relation to the spontaneous in the theatre, which is not totally unconnected with the problems about the reflexivity of the modern liberal.
I think that's a fascinating point, in fact, and one to which he cannot fail to be responsive, I think, given that his he of all people will be interested in precisely the relationship between problems of artistic empathy across time and political understanding. You're implying in simultaneous time.
Exactly.
Well, as I said to you earlier, I quite promised to not for these things to come back to him. I will have to find some very indirect strategy to take up this point with him.
I don't think
concealing the origins of the discussion in which this idea was seated in my mind.
Well, Michael, as far as I mean, it must be a question of your own methods, and of course, you must be we're all only too aware of it, as it were, the danger of, altering the thing you're trying to study. I mean, if you've got a Heisenbergian problem of a rather of a sort of Niels Bohrian problem, rather of a rather high order there. But just speaking for myself, I mean, I would have no resistance at all to, if you thought it was compatible with your methods, for you mentioning this whole area about self-consciousness and all that, because actually I've even, you know the thing about the the fish rift, do you? I mean, the Margalit fish rift.
Yes.
Does he still not know about that?
I'm not sure.
Because we are all, I mean, Avishai and I, when I last... We're all, are you in it, as it were? Have you done something?
I'm supposed to be in it, yes.
Yes. Well, Avishai...
I've been in a terrible state of hesitation about it.
Well, yes.
I feel this is...
Yes. Well, when I last saw Avishai...
I'm in a position which I'm rarely in, of actually knowing more about this subject than it's good for me.
Yes.
I'm always in the situation of having to write things where I don't know damn all,
yes,
and kind of leap, and sometimes the fact that I don't know enough actually helps me to compose.
Right.
In this case, I know too much, and also feel I don't, so...
But maybe you would want to keep out of it, but Avishai and I, when I last spoke to him, it was still meant to be a secret from him, I don't know. I've written a piece in that, which is about the naive and sentimental, it's called The Naive and Sentimental Opera Lover. And it's about Verdi and Wagner, the difference in my taste and his taste, and how it relates to this point about Wagner having turned out to be... And it contains a number of anecdotes about opera, which...
Oh, good.
So when it,
oh, good. Oh, good.
So that, that's got some of that, some of that. Indeed, it tells the story about the town hall in Oxford, obviously. And the wonderful remark he made when he invited us to the box in Covent Garden to go to Parsifal. And he said... I said, this is really good. I mean, it's very nice. And of course, we'd adore to come. Patricia and I both adore Pastor. But this is going to be horrible for you. He said, no worse than the others. Which is quite a remarkable thing to say. But so you can mention these.